He wants you to know, think it. Not strange that I take many services out of the ordinary and out of the planned. For I know what you have need of. Before the day arrives, I've provided everything in the Spirit. For much of this is so that you may be clothed with great triumph, already waiting for the victory at hand before it ever arrives, saith the Spirit of grace. For you've desired that I dictate, so I take these opportunities to fan the flames of worship and praise on the inside of you. For this is provided way in advance for those who lean into it and allow me to bring forth the answer before. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. For oftentimes, strange will be the services that will lead up to the outpouring. For what I'm teaching with those that are mature is that the things that you need the most are the things that are accessible to you by reason of your own authority. Not that you would have to have someone go there for you. So I'm soliciting. I solicit from you that place of authority and ask more from you in these days that you'd tarry in my presence, because from it, strange and notable things will happen in the days ahead. In one place I'll be doing something, and another place I'll be doing something else. Among you, these things will be taking place. Miracles will be taking place, and healings of all sorts will be manifesting themselves. So, for the pattern that'll be set, I'm asking you to observe. Observe and stay close. And stay close in the Spirit and watch. Watch with me. For in these things, I say, they'll be strange to you for a while, but then they'll accustom themselves as you move in further and further to me. Say this, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Threefold cords. Threefold cords. What, Holy Spirit, sir? See, we're still in worship. He wants me to read this to you, and if you wanted to read it, it's Ecclesiastes. Well, look at what Solomon said in verse 9 of chapter 4, Ecclesiastes. Something he's doing here now. He says, two are better than one. They have a good reward for their labor. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Is he just simply talking about right now? Intercession. See, you've got an intercessor to do intercession with. He's the helper. And it was never meant, ever meant, that the church come under programs and designs of the flesh. You know, we may have a government that's so strong and Spirit-led in the days ahead that somebody is a nursemaid that is just in a humble position saying, hey, can we help schedule the different ministries together? But right now, the most imperative thing that the Holy Spirit is saying to us as we settle into this house tonight, He's saying, get used to be led. Getting used to being led by the Holy Spirit. Because whoever you are and whatever you are, He wants to bring out. And He wants to join it not only to Himself, but He wants to join it to other members of the body that are called to your purpose and to your plan. Now, we're all called. Every one of us are called. But for you to fulfill your call, you're going to have to not only go into Him, but you're going to have to begin to let Him identify the strengths around you. Why? Because we're going into some severe and some fierce battle. These are the days of David, if you want to typify it, before the revival, before we get to Solomon, where there's a land of rest, there's a lot of fighting to be done. A lot of fighting to be done. And if I'm a good pastor, I've just got to tell you that. See, what Gerald and Deanne just received is over the top. It's so wonderful. But it's an empowerment by the Holy Spirit so that nothing, and I'm just using them as an example, nothing is able to come in the days ahead. I don't know if that prophecy is fulfilled in this year or next year or when it is fulfilled. I just saw a place in the Spirit where it was like they took a quantum leap. They were one place and they just by making some decisions. All of you are involved in that type of... God has something so powerful for whatever your call is that the enemy believes it's vitally important for you to be stopped. And so we're in the days of David. There's going to be a scepter that's going to be passed, and we're going to go into the time of Solomon in the days ahead where the kingdoms around us are going to be settled, and we're going to go into an environment where it's going to be much easier to whip the devil all the time. Your dollars will that you're having a hard time prospering now under that environment, strangely enough, will change themselves overnight into multitudes of production. The worship that we fight through now, in that hour, see, this is what we're breaking through for. I don't want to tell you what I saw a couple weeks ago, but I probably should. Because you're a mature enough crowd to see it and hear it. I said to somebody the other day, I said, I'm not saying that there's a geographical place. I said, I'm not the kind that says God's only in a geographical place of the church and that He's just... I think it was Homer, and he goes, yeah, but He is. I wanted to kind of sandbag myself and give myself room not to sound stereotypical or religious. Believe me, if you're not up here and He's moving and you're back there lost in His presence, He's there with you. You're not having to legalistically cross a line to come up here. But I saw something that morning in the Spirit. It was just a flash and it left. But it was a prophecy. It was a couple of weeks ago, and please, if you feel like you were part of anything outside of this, we're just going to say you're the bunch that was lost in the Spirit and didn't hear the call. So there's no incrimination. But it was a day of war, and I like war when I win war. But to the body of Christ at large, there's a war going on, and sad to say, the ones that are in the war that are being defeated don't even know there's a war going on. They don't even know they're in a war. Because if they knew they were in a war, they'd begin to join themselves to the only one that can change that war. And so, when we were worshiping up here, there was a real line in the Spirit, and I thought, man, this is so wonderful, why don't we just go on and keep worshiping? Well, then the Holy Spirit prompted me to prophesy and said, let's begin to, as a group, I don't know how He said it verbatim now, I'm just in essence saying, come forward and participate. 5 minutes went by, and it looked as to me that he wasn't heard, that there was no, and I thought, well, communication, the burden of communication, understand this, the burden of communication is always on the communicator. So I take that responsibility. And I said, I apologize, I didn't communicate it right. Maybe I didn't, you know, I didn't say it as good as the Holy Spirit can say it. But I believe He wants everybody to come and just stand around as a family and worship God. There were still few that responded. Now, what are you saying this for? Is this a rebuke? Oh, no, no. This is a teaching. At that moment in time, at some point in that moment in time, I saw a party going on. And I thought, you know, God, we could go on with this party. And it wasn't a feeling like a grudgery, like, okay, well, let's just teach everybody else a lesson. I saw that God recognized the whoever was worshiping and having that party, and it would have been just so easy for us to go on. Just so easy for us to go on and worship. But immediately I saw a line, and behind that line was a warfare going on that people didn't even see. The ones that were caught in it. They didn't even know they were in a war. And there was a demonic atmosphere that was being created that just kept their minds so saturated that they couldn't even hear. They were so thinking on what they were going through and so involved in their own personal life that they could not even hear two calls of the Word of the Lord. So, things began to, you know, gradually break, and the Lord did whatever He did, and everybody was blessed. And we just absolutely count everybody that walks in that door as to be no less regarded than anybody else. Amen. But what I saw in the Spirit was a war that was going on, and but God said, you know, I want them all. And so what He began to do from that point on, He began to solicit through exhortation, however that went, the necessity for us all to begin to govern ourselves, to walk into God. And He was pulling the whole group up. But then the Lord began to speak to me later on through the week, and He began to say some things that I had already heard, and He said, understand this, that in this revival, in this pouring out, that two things are going to happen. The fast are just going to keep going faster, and the slow are just going to keep going slower. And He said, right now, and I don't know how long right now is, He said, I'm trying to get everybody as close as I can up to speed. You know, I want my whole body if I can. But He said, there will come a time where I will continue to go after the one. You know, God will shut down a whole service to try to go after, you know, that lost. But right now what He's doing is He's shutting down services where He'd like to go ahead and have the party and go us take us on up to other places and do other stuff. But then He goes back to the lowest place, to where that person is so burdened in their mind they don't even hear the call for worship. And He starts soliciting their mind to try to pull them out of that. And the Lord said, I'll always go back. There'll be a season where I'll keep going back, and I'll leave the 99 to go after the one. But He said it'll really be in the days ahead. It'll be the one out of the 99, as in going after the one in the world. The lost. Do you understand that? Right now he's going after the church. He's stopping services for the church. There'll come a day where He won't stop the church, the service, and try to solicit people to come forward. The church will just go on. If He stops anything, it'll only be because He's moving on the behalf of the lost. The slow will just keep going slower, and the fast faster. But it'll be up to the slow. It'll still be beneficial for the slow, because there'll be such a glory that if they want to at any time, all they have to do is make that choice to step into it, and the bondage will come off their mind. Hallelujah. But the Lord said to me, He said, you can't help them and the people that are wanting to worship. You can't even stop and help them because you're not even qualified in the glory that you're standing in to pull them out of where they're at. You must go on. You must go on in the Spirit. And so you must go on and receive this outpouring that is majorly beneficial, not just for Immokalee, it's beneficial for the ones that can't even see they're in a battle. Glory be to God. He's prophesying. So, He's working a good work. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, what He was saying here was talking about intercession and using you as an intercessor. And I really wanted to go to Romans 8 and talk about intercession there. We probably won't get there. And there's really three lines of defense in Romans 8. And that's your spirit, the Holy Spirit, and then Jesus who's interceding for you. There's three lines of defense in Romans 8. Your spirit's groaning. The Holy Spirit's groaning for you, and then Jesus is also groaning for you. And I can show you all that in the Word, and we've done that before, and we probably won't get there tonight. But when He talks about the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered, you say, well, now, is He talking about the individual there, or is He talking about me being used as an intercessor for the entire body of Christ? He's talking about both. It's a two-edged sword. There's light groanings, and then there's heavy, deep groanings, the groanings that we oftentimes, as by observation, term the groanings, the deep groanings of the Spirit. But the groanings that we understand as the light groanings or the groanings that you groan on a daily basis as you edify yourself, in 1 Corinthians 14, he that prays in an unknown tongue, is edifying himself, the Word says, and speaks about that whole teaching ministry therein, or that whole teaching out of 1 Corinthians 14 of how that you edify yourself. That's when the Holy Spirit on a continual basis, Romans 8, 26, is in a like place every day and every hour and every moment that you pray in tongues, you are praying the mysteries of God for your life. And Romans 8, 26 and then 27 says, he that knows what is the mind of the Spirit, which is really the mind of Christ, maketh intercession for us according to the will of God. So we understand that as an individual, as you pray in tongues, you're praying out your life. But it says he prays for the saints. So there is parts of you, there is part of your time that the Holy Spirit will come and he will use you in your edified place to try to transition you as an intercessor and get over to your mind the wisdom that's necessary to pray for the body of Christ. And in particular, let me tell you how he wants to work this, because I begin to see it in the Spirit. He wants us to, all of us, to be praying for one another. How many of you know that prayer and intercession is vitally important? Now, the word intercession just simply means, or intercessor means simply to stand in the gap for somebody else. It means to take up a cause or to pray for somebody else. How many of you recognize and understand that we need to pray for our nation like never before? We have no champions right now, as far as I see it. They're standing on the block, and we have to begin to call forth a champion. I mean, God can still change this, but we don't have a Republican, we don't have a Democrat that represents the body of Christ right now. And we're like a bunch of lost sheep out there, and it's so amazing because really if we pulled all of our numerical, you know, power together, we could vote somebody in. But it's amazing how the enemy is just trying to just keep any champion from standing on the block. And so we need to pray, God, raise up a champion. I mean, give us a conscientious vote. I mean, I want to be able to vote for somebody, even if they, now I don't want to say this negatively, even if they lost, I want somebody I can vote for with a good conscience. I don't have anybody yet. And it's a pitiful thing. And it, I don't like that thing. Now, don't tell me, well, let's vote for the less of two evils. I don't like that. I don't like that. Let's vote. What, are you on a rattlesnake or a pygmy rattlesnake? You know, both of them, I hate it, both of them, you know. One will kill you and one will make you sick. Which one do you like? I'll choose your poison. I don't want to choose my poison. I want righteousness. Hallelujah. So we take that authority in Jesus' name. And we just take this opportunity, Father. We just lift up our voice. Father, we're just a small group, but I know that You're speaking to men and women all over our nation. Raise up a champion in Jesus' name. God, let there be some kind of, you know, somebody that's not out there right now, or if there's somebody out there that we're seeing, Lord, let them get born again and Spirit-filled in Jesus' name. Lord, raise up the champion that we need to see that is standing on the block and that will represent godliness. It will represent, Lord God, what David represented, which righteousness and the power of the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It would be easy for me to get ahead of myself, and I would just want to back up for just a moment. The Holy Spirit will never get ahead of Himself. You know, He continues to take over these services, and that's fine with me. There's a pages of notes here where He can methodically begin to break this down for you. But He's doing a good enough job right now. In simplicity, He just wants you to understand this. If you begin to open up yourself in doing the things that you're already doing concerning praying in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit will begin to open up your mind to the direction of knowledge kind, English intercession. The intercession that you'll make by the knowledge of your own mind. And He'll begin to tie that in. If you'll pray in tongues, worship. Now I'm talking about just strictly academics. Now, if you'll begin to pray in tongues, and I can give you scripture on this, and I wish I could get there tonight. One is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and that is how the Holy Spirit will cause you to begin to understand things. He'll teach you not with words which man's wisdom teaches, but the wisdom which He teaches. 1 Corinthians 14, it tells you there that Paul got revelation knowledge by praying in tongues. How does that happen? It bleeds over into your understanding. Praying in tongues is supposed to bleed over into your understanding. Well, how much more if your call in ministry is an entrepreneur, if you're praying in tongues, will the Holy Spirit eventually bleed over into your understanding, not only who you are, but how to pray for other people that you recognize that same gift in, and as you're praying for them, eventually you'll find your worlds, not trying to do it by manipulation, but you'll find your lives and your world beginning to gravitate around one another, because what He's doing is, what He describes here, is He's sowing or He's spinning threefold cords that are not easily broken. Hallelujah. It's so simple. If we'll just worship God, pray in tongues, and listen, you'll begin to get burdens. You should pray for everybody. Please pray for your pastor. Please pray for Pastor Dave. He's asked us to pray for him more than ever before. And I believe he's getting closer to revival. And that's why he needs our prayer. I'm remembering it right now, so I'm asking you to pray for a man by the name of Jason Hamlin. Jason is... it's amazing where he goes. He goes into all the Middle East countries and he passes out Dave's books. And he was just not long ago with one of the young men. It's amazing the connections that has now presently traveling with Osama bin Laden. And Jason was talking to this guy. I'm amazed. Jason gets behind the scenes, you know, and I said, well, you know, don't they know where this guy's at? And I can tell you, they know far more than they let us know. Far more than they let us know. But Jason is with those guys. And you just can't believe the testimonies that are taking place of the people that are getting born again and coming out. And God is doing a wonderful thing over there. But He's in danger all the time. So please pray for Jason. And he'll be back over in the Middle East in about a month, and he'll be there until October. So the Holy Spirit wants us to pray for the entire body of Christ. We pray not just for our family, but what he wants to do, and I'm sure in the weeks ahead, I hope in the next couple of weeks, I won't be here next Wednesday, but the following one, I hope the Holy Spirit will bring us back to this to give you more scriptural basis. But this is how it works, just the academics of it. You go in to pray, spend your time. I worship you. If you edify yourself, that edification will turn into eventually interpretation, to where your natural senses begin to want to gravitate towards praying for certain needs in the body. You'll find the Holy Spirit will eventually begin to oftentimes pray not only for your ministry and begin to interpret to you that you would be sufficiently supplied for everything that you're supposed to be doing for the body of Christ. But then you'll find, God, why am I so burdened for this person in the body of Christ? Or why do I gravitate? I don't love them any more than I do any other person in the body of Christ. I'm not trying to join myself to a clique or something like that. But the Holy Spirit begins to do just what He's describing here. In verse 9 again, He says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. How many of you know God wants to join a bunch of you together? All of us together as one church. But I'm telling you, there's different segments that'll make up one cell, one body. He says, if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Now, how many understand that just in generality, it's good to stay under the covering of the Lord? None of us are long rangers. And for us to succeed in this revival, you see, one thing I believe, I know that even if you didn't pray for me, Romans 6, that tells us that sin shall not have dominion over us, I don't have to fall to sin. I continue to walk out my life. And really, in all reality, I can live my life, my personal life, free from sin and free from oppression, even if everybody walks away from me. But for me to adequately and totally fulfill my life call and bring about a revival, we need each other. We need each other. And we need the prayers of each other. We need the intercession of each other. It will make your life easier if people are praying for you. You'll make their life easier if you're praying for other people. And God will begin to, if God gets His way in the body of Christ, He'll begin to add one and one and twos to the level that the intercessors will begin to gravitate to one another. The fivefold will begin to gravitate. Not that you won't be intermingling with everybody else, but I'm talking about as the Holy Spirit begins to bind your hearts together and say, we're going to share what the Holy Spirit is saying across pollinization. That's what He wants. He wants in the body of Christ, how can we mandate this? Am I going to put a chart up on the wall and say, okay, Kathy, let's put all the intercessors together. Let's put all the entrepreneurs together, all the people that have a ministry of governments that want to help rule and reign and help, you know, organize things. Let's do that. Let's get all the fivefold together. That's not going to work. Not as busy as you are. It's not going to work. But I can tell you how it'll work in the Spirit. All He's wanting to do right now is make you conscious of probably what you're already doing. And if you're conscious of this, you'll lean more to it. See, sometimes you don't do something enough because you don't lean more to it because you think it's just you. But when you begin to pray for certain people and you realize you have a certain call, God's wanting you to compare first of all to pray, and then what God does from that prayer, He'll begin to spin a web around you so that your worlds begin to gravitate. You'll begin in the future to compare notes in the Spirit. You'll understand what, well, I've been fighting this. I've been fighting that. This is how I overcame it. You know, you entrepreneurs, you ministry of helps, there's coming a day when God gets His perfect will, you'll talk more with each other than ever before. Governments will talk more with each other. And I said Sunday, and it's so important, part of the reason why there was 9/11 is because nobody in government was talking to each other. It wasn't our president's fault, but in a certain sense, government was at fault because, you know, the FBI and the CIA and all of the different departments of Secret Service and Special Ops, and, you know, they've got a dozen of them. But nobody was saying anything. You know, they knew what they knew, but if they'd have cross-pollinized, they could probably, possibly stop 9/11. Well, he says here in verse 10 again, if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they have heat. But how can one be warmed alone? And if one prevail against him, I like this. This is the battle that's facing us down. If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. Hallelujah. How many believe God's going to join some people to your cause? And your cause is one with the church, and that is to receive an outpouring. Hallelujah. Now, some of you might have more than one particular call, but the Holy Spirit's the one that is going to distinguish that. It's not going to be through some kind of survey that I'm going to pass out on a Friday night or Wednesday night. Again, verse 12 says, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. God wants to begin to, and I'd love to get into those New Testament scriptures, and this is about where we're going to end up tonight, but if He gets His way through the Holy Spirit, and I'm believing that He is, the more you pray in tongues, and it'll go right down, the basic bottom line is that revelation gift is not just a revelation gift as in doctrine, but according to Romans 8, 26 and 27, it prays the mysteries of God for the body or for the saints, plural. So if you're being used in light intercession, which is edification on a daily basis, you're praying out the mystery of God for your life. God will also, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, begin to cause you, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, to cause you to be cognizantly conscious, aware of the needs of other people as you pray in tongues. See, praying in tongues is a mystery, but it's really not always meant to stay a mystery. It's really supposed to begin to dawn on your natural mind, illuminate your natural mind of what God's trying to get across to your conscience, your conscious area. You're not supposed to stay stupid all your life. Excuse me. No, I'm sorry. That's rude. I was including myself in that. Forgive me. We're not supposed to stay dull. We're supposed to get sharp. But if we learn, and I can tell you that surveying those scriptures, there is more than enough evidence that the Holy Spirit, if you allow Him on the process of beginning a self-edification, will eventually, and I will, by the grace of God, give you those scriptures and teach them out, eventually begin to illuminate your mind to what He wants you to pray intellectually, not out of a intellectual sense of the word that we think of intellectually apart from the Spirit, but with a consciousness. And that consciousness, as you pray for one another, will begin to gravitate your hearts together. Can you see that picture? and bind you together as threefold cords. Does that mean there'll just be three in our group? No. He's talking about a strength that'll come in the body of Christ that will make intercessors real intercessors. Dyed-in-wool intercessors. I'm talking about men or women. It can be men or women that actually have a heart to birth things in the kingdom of God. And as they do, their hearts will be knit together, and they won't be just be a bunch of people that'll be being nursed like nursery rhymes and silly things and witch hunts and all. They'll be women and men that are birthing things because they know how to stay in the presence of God. And because of it, something is being spawned out of them. God will gravitate them together. The helps ministry or the fivefold. God's going to join them together. And then He's going to cross-pollination where that what Gerald will need or what Marty will need, because they're talking, they'll eventually be able to just pick up the phone and say, I need intercessors to help me birth this. I see it, and we're going to pray about it, but it's about the biggest deal of my life, and I need those intercessors. And the intercessors will do, our cords are supposed to be being bound together in ways that we've never known before in the past. Hallelujah. We need each other. That's what He's wanting to say. We need each other. We need to begin to intercede like never before. Hallelujah, Jesus. So as those things happen, great and glorious things are going to take place. Great and glorious things are going to take place. Because one, if one gets knocked down, he's by himself. Two stands there together. What's the word say? But a threefold cord. When it says it's not easily broken, it's just telling you there's a strength there. Once you begin to bind things together, Satan's absolutely not going to be able to sever. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I want to be a part of it, don't you? I am a part of it. Hallelujah. So, Father, we just worship You. We give You all the praise and all the glory. Whatever we are, in the facet of our ministry, we ask You to begin to speak to us on a daily basis as we utter the mysteries of God. Use that light place of intercession that we call edification to begin to illuminate our minds, to pray for one another. And as we get out past the realms of just praying for the body in general, then take us, Holy Spirit, to those places in our edification, to places of groanings of the Spirit where we begin to birth things and we see things and then we gravitate to the offices and the calls, so that, Lord, we're not standing alone, but that we're bound together in our offices and we're able to compare notes and we're able to take, as the Word said, steel sharpeneth or iron sharpeneth iron. Lord, we pray that the iron in every ministry will be sharpened by the iron in someone else in that same call, in that same office, in Jesus' name. We pray that You'll begin to illuminate us, Holy Spirit. Bring to pass the offices of government, the offices of helps, and the offices of intercession, Lord, and the fivefold in this house. Every office, Lord, let it be fully operable and working to full capacity in the precious name of Jesus. And we give You all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I feel edified. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen.